All right, take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, and once you've found your place there, go to Psalms 119. Psalm 119, if you will. And somewhere between there, we'll have a message, all right? Psalm 119. Between Psalm 119 and Matthew 24, we ought to be to preach for a little bit. So if you'll turn there, that'll be good. And Psalm 119, we're going to look at verse 89. We'll start there, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 24. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Then Matthew 24, look if you will in verse 35. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You say, "Preacher, those two verses, they bear similarity, so you're going to preach on the Word of God." No, not going to preach on the Word of God tonight. I got the thoughts months ago, and our nation, I see what's going on in our world, and man, from the standpoint of a child of God, it can be extremely discouraging, almost overwhelming, because our nation, I believe, as a nation, has forgotten God, and we've justified, glorified, and even legalized all sorts of sin and made it legal and okay. And at the same time, we've turned around and we've marginalized, we've criticized, and in some cases, criminalized what the Word of God says we're to do. And boy, when you think about all, you go, where in the world is this thing going, you know? Sunday has become just another day. Man, it's just another day to shop and socialize or enjoy sports, you know. Look, Sunday's the Lord's Day. Sunday's the Lord's Day. It's a special day, and I think we as God's people ought to keep it that way, all right? I would say to you now, not berating you or anything, but I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be grocery shopping on Sunday. I wouldn't want to be buying my clothes on Sunday. There's other days you can do it. And the good thing around here is you can shop 24 hours a day, all right? So you say, "Well, I just can't find time." Well, don't sleep, all right? Because the stores are open all the time. I think we ought to work to do that, all right? God's been booted out of the government house, the courthouse, and the schoolhouse. I mean, they've just gotten rid of him, and as a nation, we've rejected and ridiculed and resisted the Word of God, resisted what God says. All of that, and all of it just flies in the face of our God. Because of that, I think we get the wrong idea. And I think a lot of God's people get the idea, well, we just can't do it anymore. All right, and like I say, Christians get discouraged and think we can't do what the Bible says. But I read those two verses to remind you the Bible has not changed. The Bible's not changed. The truth of the Word of God is not affected by the passage of time, and it's not affected by what societies do. Societies can do all kinds of things. We can go all kinds of directions, but it doesn't change the Word of God. The Bible, we've read it, is settled forever. And that book that is settled forever is for all ages. It's applicable for all ages. It's not outdated. Not outdated. I'm sure maybe you see things like this on the internet. This seems to be the repository of all knowledge in our day. I see these things, 15 things that we used to do and now are really frowned upon. And a lot of those things are biblical things. Now, I look at them and I go, nothing's changed with me and nothing's changed with the Bible. I can't help what society's decided, you know. This book is still available and we're still to follow it. We're still to do what it says. And I want to say this to you, it will still work. It will still work. Everything the Bible says, it'll still work if we'll do it. It may seem like everybody has gone wrong, but you don't have to go with them. All right? You do not have to go with them. I used to preach a message to teens, and it was two things that, you know, that the world believes or says is dead wrong. And one of the things is everybody's doing it. Well, everybody's not doing it. Everybody's not doing wrong. There's still some folks that have decided not going to do that. And I want to say this to you. It'll still work. It will still work. I know it's not popular. And I know everybody, and not everybody, but it seems like everybody, suggests going a different direction. But it doesn't mean we have to do that. Huh? Let me just give you three examples. And I'll be honest, we could preach a message on each one of these three things easily. But I just want to give you three examples that let you know it can still be done. Number one, you can still have a wonderful marriage and a happy home. You can still have a wonderful marriage and a happy home. Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13, would you? Hebrews chapter 13. This is a verse that's in the Bible. It is ignored today by a huge percentage of the population. It's ignored today by a huge bunch of people that call themselves Christian. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 says this. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I got news for you. A lot of people don't believe that anymore. Hey, we live in a day where God, people that profess Christianity, people that profess salvation, move in, shack up, live together without benefit of marriage, and seem to have the attitude, well, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. My Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, we don't like those words too much anymore. But I just want to say it. Marriage is still honorable. It's still the right thing. And you can have a wonderful marriage. We don't have to let the ungodly set our agenda. We just don't have to let them do it. We don't have to follow the example of the whoremongers, okay? You don't need to do that. It's wrong. You want a happy home, you can have one. Now, it's not easy. You have to work at it. You know, it's amazing we don't mind working at everything else. Well, you have to work at having a happy home. The reason we struggle in marriage is because there's two people involved. And some individuals cannot get along with themselves. Therefore, getting along with somebody else is a difficult thing. But I want to tell you, it's doable. It is doable. It takes commitment, though. You know, it takes a commitment. Those marriage vows talk about, you know, till death do you part. Well, that takes a lot of commitment, all right? That takes a lot of commitment. That takes a lot of somebody saying, okay, we're going to work these. I was preaching this morning, and I said, my wife and I, you know, been married nearly 44 years. We've never had this, and y'all started laughing. But I finished by saying that we couldn't work out. We worked those things out, all right? We worked those things out. And you have to work at it to keep it going. You say, well, how are we going to do it? I'm going to give you the simple plan, okay? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, We're going to read two verses here, and these verses fly in the face of all that's pretty much in the world today. Okay? We're going to read verse 22 first, all right? And it's got a word in there that causes people's hackles to stand up. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If you put those two verses together and you do what those things say, you can have a happy home. You can have a good marriage. A good marriage is not a marriage that's never had a problem. A good marriage is a marriage that's decided we're going to work through the problems. We're going to deal with them, all right? We're not going to bail, we're going to deal with them. Now, I understand that it takes both people being willing to do that. I know that. I know that, okay? I understand. For those of you who are not married, you're here. Some of you are young. Some of you have lost a spouse, you know, whatever. My word to you is you be careful who you marry. You be careful who you marry. Don't just take anybody that'll have you or that you'll take, all right? Be careful. The husband needs to love his wife. Now, the Bible says here's the standard, as Christ loved the church. That's the way you're to love your wife. You're to love your wife just that way, as Christ loved the church. Now, the Bible says he loved it enough to give himself for it. He died for it. I believe this. I believe every husband ought to be willing to die for his wife. I believe that. You said, preacher, you willing to die for yours? I sure hope so. I would be if that opportunity came. I hope so. I don't believe we'll ever know till we reach that point. We can say everything, but until we get to that point, that's when we know for sure. But we need to be willing. We need to love our wife the way the Lord loved the church. And I'll say this to you. He loved us while we were yet sinners. All right? He did not love us because we're all shined up and polished to perfection. No, he took us as we were and he loved us. He loved us in spite of us. And men, if you're going to love your wife, you're going to have to love her in spite of some things. They're women. They're not the same as a man. Now, ladies, I understand. You say, yeah, and y'all are men. And that's true. That's true. And we're different. All right, we're different. We're constituted different. God made us different. We're emotionally different, physically different. There's differences there, all right? But we're to love each other, okay? The Bible says, women, submit yourselves unto your own husband. I suggest, and I say this and believe it, if you find a man that'll love you the way the Lord loved the church, you won't mind submitting to him. I believe that. All right? Now, men, if you love your wife the way the Lord loved the church, you don't browbeat her. You don't take advantage of her. You just don't do it. And as I said, there's sermons here, okay? A multitude of sermons right here. But the whole point is, the world today says you can't do that anymore. You can't do that. The world today, I've even heard people say, well, man was not made to be monogamous. Well, that's a lie out of hell, all right? When God made Adam and he saw her and he said it's not good for him to be alone, he didn't make two or three women for him. He made one. And the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, as he be joined to his wife, not wives, and the two, not four, five, six, the two shall be one flesh. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And it's still doable. It's still doable. You can make a marriage work and you can put a marriage together and a home together that will last, but you got to work at it. You've got to work at it. You got to put the time into it, all right? You got to put the effort into it. You cannot just take one another for granted. Hey, it can still be done. The second thing I want to say is this. You can still raise respectful, obedient, and clean kids. I believe that with all that's within me. You're still there in Ephesians. Look in chapter 6, verse 4. Men, I want you to notice where God puts a responsibility. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke them to wrath. That means you can do that. If you want to, you can do that. You can provoke them to wrath. I've worked in a Christian school in some capacity for this 49. This is the 49th year. I have found, if I wanted to, there's kids in our school I could go tomorrow, and when they get there, I know how to push the button, and I'd have to send them home. But I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. You know, we go back to the husband and wife. If you've been married for a while, you know how to push the button to your spouse. You can do it. You want to. But if you want to, you need to get right with God, all right? But the Lord says, hey, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, folks, if God says to do that, that means you can do it. He doesn't ask us to do what you can't do. That means we need to get over this idea that all kids, all children are going to rebel. That is not true. We live in a day where pretty much everybody thinks, well, all teenagers are going to rebel. Don't accept that. Don't accept that. All kids don't have to rebel. I know that because all of them don't. Now, I think because they're humans and we're all sinners, we've all got a streak of that rebellion in us. But it doesn't mean they have to rebel. You don't have to do that. You don't have to raise rebels. You don't have to do that. They don't have to go through that rebellious stage. Now, the problem is, once again, it takes work. It takes work. It consumes time. It demands time. That means you need to make it a priority. You need to start early. You parents that are here, please don't think that what they do that is wrong is cute. Our problem is, and I see it everywhere, man. I see parents and they got little kids and they do things and it is cute, but it's not cute. And it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. I've been in a home before where the child was ranting and disobedient and the parent was telling them, the kid was ignoring them. And I finally said to that mother, hey, Mom, if you want to go over and take him and whoop his rear end, go ahead. It won't bother me a bit. But her answer was, at his age? I said, oh, yeah, you've already waited too long. So get started now. Don't wait so long. Now, wait a minute. I realize what I've just said would horrify probably 75% of the world today. But it's biblical. It is in the Word of God. We shouldn't be afraid to follow what God says. If you indulge your kids, you give to them and do everything they want you to do, and all that they want you to do, and give them all their desires, give them what they need, you're going to raise a child that one day is going to rebel against you and is going to fill you with heartache and trouble. You're going to regret what you did. That little princess, or that little prince, needs to be taken off the throne. All right? You're to be on the throne in the home, not them. Start early with them. The Bible says, train up a child. Train them. Train them, all right? They need that training. They need to be trained. They need to be taught. This is the way we do it. I'm going to bring my wife into this. My wife teaches the kindergarten kiddos in our school. I have said multiple times, give me the teenagers any day of the week, but deliver me from them little ones. I was not made to deal with them. But she has a talent, a knack, an ability. She has wisdom, and I've watched her train. Those kids, man, they come into class, they're the cock of the walk at their house in kindergarten, and you may have five or eight of them, you know. Sometimes you only got one, and that's enough of a job. And they're used to doing everything, and it's a new world when suddenly somebody says, uh-uh. It's almost like their jaw drops, and they go, huh? You said no to me? Well, yes. Hey, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We need to realize this. Hey, we're not talking about, by the way, we're not talking about abusing anybody. If you abuse a child, they ought to take you out and beat you, okay? I don't mean abuse, but I'm talking about training, teaching, discipline, putting it in the children. Teach them some things. Teach them some things. Well, listen, it's a good thing to teach your children to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, and no, ma'am. That's a good thing to teach them. It just displays respect. It displays respect. And man, I could write a book probably, I guess, about dealing with kids that have been taught none of that. And they're trouble. They're trouble for their parents. By the way, they're unhappy. They're unhappy. And I'll tell you this, then they move into marriage and they marry somebody and think that marriage is everything supposed to go their way. You got an unhappy home then. Hey, you can still raise them. Just how do you do it? You follow the Bible. You follow the Bible. Hey, look. You need rules, but before you have rules, you need a relationship. You need a relationship with your children. They need to know you love them. They need to know you care about them. They need to know that anything that happens, they can bring to you and talk to you. And the first word out of your mouth should not always be condemnation. You need to learn to listen to your children. And if all you have is rules and there's no relationship, you will have rebellion, all right? You will have that rebellion. But man, if you'll put it into effect, you'll spend some time. Bring them up, the Bible says, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There ought to be some training. You said, how do I do it? That's up to you. You can do numerous ways. I've got a good friend. He used to do his kids would be down. They'd be down in the floor playing. He'd say, all right, stop playing. Get up here and sit on the couch. Just sit there. They hadn't done anything wrong, but he'd just have them come sit on the couch. And if they said, why? He said, never mind. You just sit there. And I guess they got used to it, you know, so they quit asking why. Once again, we're talking about there's a series of sermons here, all right? But I just want you to know you can still raise respectful, obedient, and clean kids. But it's going to take a lot of effort on your part. And boy, before I get any further, you need to monitor this thing right here. You need to monitor this thing right here. The best thing, and now you teenagers aren't going to like what I'm fixing to say. The truth of the matter is your child doesn't need a smartphone. You said, what do you mean? Well, didn't y'all grow up without one? Y'all, you grew up without one. You didn't have a smartphone. That phone gives access to the filth of the world. access to the filth of the world. Man, I'm not stopping because I won't get past this point. So I've got to keep moving, all right? But you need to monitor. You need to stay on top. You say, well, I trust my kids. Me too. But I don't trust the devil. Don't trust him. You got to stay after things, all right? You got to stay after things. Hey, you can. You can have a happy home and a good marriage. And you can still raise respectful, obedient, and clean kids. By the way, teenagers, I love you in spite of what you think after I just said what I said about those phones. You don't need that, all right? I didn't say you shouldn't have a phone. I don't mind if you have. Really, I think it's a good idea if you have a phone. In our day, I think it's a good idea you have a phone. But there's just too much accessible on that smartphone. And some of the people you know are filthy. They're filthy. And you don't have to be exposed to what they could send you. You just don't have to be exposed. It's not good for you. And it'll help you, all right? But the third thing is this. You can still live a godly, consecrated, separated life for God. You can still do that. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I said you can still live a godly, consecrated, separated life. You can still live a holy life. I said, how do you know? Because God told you to do it. And he will not tell you to do what you cannot do. Now, I don't think you or me or anybody else, we can't do it without his help. But we can do it. We can do that. Now, once again, it will not make you the most popular person in this day. You may not have 50 million followers on whatever it is that they follow nowadays, all right? You may not have that. But is that your goal in life, or is it your goal in life to be a godly child of God? Is your goal to make the world happy? Or is your goal to please your Savior? That one that died for you. Now, where's your goal? If your goal's to please the world, you can forget everything I've said and go for it. But if you're saved, you're going to stand before God one day to give an answer for that. And if you're not saved, you're going to stand before him at the great white throne judgment, and you're going to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Never knew you. But I'm saying to you, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, there ought to be some concern on your part to please the one who called you to be a soldier, as the Bible says. We ought to be concerned about that. We can still live a godly life. The Bible talks about in Timothy not being entangled with the world. To not get tangled up in this old world so much, all right? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look, if you will, in verse 17. This is the Bible, folks, all right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And notice, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A lot of people in our day say, well, I wish I had a closer walk with God. Well, you can. Here it is. Come out from among the world, all right? Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean you become a hermit. That doesn't mean you seek a cave in the desert and set up, you know, housekeeping there. I'm not talking about that. When it says come out from among, look, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to live like this world. We don't have to live like this world. The Bible tells us to come out and be separate. We're to seek to please our Lord. We're to seek to follow what He says for us to do. And the Bible said, don't even touch the unclean thing. We're not to touch it. We're not to taste it. We're not to tantalize it, you know. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Just be what God wants you to be. You come out, and the closer you will get to Him, the further you will be from this world. That closer relationship with the Lord comes as you get further from the world. We get further from the world. Now, we get in this world, we live in this world, and the dirt of this world spatters up on us. All right, that's why you keep cleansing yourself in the Word of God. You stay in the book, read the book, cleanse yourself. But hey, you take a look at what you're doing and your practices. Hey, your speech. Your speech. We live in the filthiest talking day I know of my lifetime. You didn't, as a kid, even out among other people, I never heard the kind of things you hear today. Look, there's no reason. Now, you may work in a situation where you constantly hear that kind of language, and you may have been saved as an adult, and that language was part of your speech patterns. Well, you got to work to get rid of it. You got to work to get rid of it. But that's not what you want, man. You want to have... You don't want to be like them. You don't want to sound like them, look like them, smell like them. Nothing do you want to do like they do. Why would we want to be what the world is and yet profess to be a Christian? And you know, you say, well, it doesn't hurt. I can still be a Christian and do what they do. You can still be saved and do what they do, but you can't be a Christian. You said, now, wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean I can still be saved, but I can't be a Christian? I thought that was being saved. No. The word Christian means Christ-like. Means Christ-like. You can't live like the world, do what they do, dress the way they dress, talk the way they talk, go to the places they go to. I mean, you just don't do it. You don't take your Christian life to Billy Bob's. You don't do it. Well, I wanted to hear that singer that was there. Tough. Don't go. Don't go. Well, that's the only place maybe you don't need to hear them, I guess, you know. But don't be a part of that. Well, preacher, you're just an old prude. I don't care what you call me. But I believe that book. I believe God meant what He said. And I say this to you, you can still do that. You can still do that. When I was in school, and I want to tell you right up front, I did not do all I should have done as a teenager, as a Christian. But I'll never, and I wish I had. I regret not being a better Christian. But I remember sitting in class one day, and I think it was in homeroom because we were talking and it was legal to talk, all right? You know, at that particular moment, and we were talking, and I don't remember the situation, what happened or what I said or what I did. And I had a kid in the class and in front of me look and say, what are you, some kind of Christian? Glory to God, at least one time I did right. At least one time I did right. I mean, that's a good thing. I was at the hospital the other day. And I was leaving the room with a person I'd been to see. And I was leaving the room and this lady was coming to me and towards me. And I did what I normally do. I normally speak to people, you know, howdy, how you doing, hello. And she stopped me and she said, are you a preacher? Well, I'm glad she thought that. But I don't know why she did. I did not have my Bible tucked under my arm, all right? And I stood and listened to that lady pour out her heart to me. Her husband was there in the hospital. And I, everything she said. I'm pretty sure dying of lung cancer. And he was a preacher and had an associate pastor. He was in his 80s, and he wasn't dying of cancer because he smoked or anything like that. But it was just that. And she just needed somebody. She told me, I just need somebody to talk to. I said, you go ahead. You just go ahead. Well, you and I ought to want people to think that person's a Christian. We ought to want people to think something different about them. And in this day, even if they say, they're weird, okay, I'm weird. If not wanting to sip the slop of the world makes me weird, call me weird. I just don't want to do that. Don't want to do it. I've seen what it does to people. I'll be honest with you. I've preached the funeral of people that decided that was the way to live. Don't have to do that. You don't have to do it. Hey, folks, look. The Word of God's still true. Word of God's still true. Yep, I believe this world's going to hell, but I'm not going with it. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to do everything I can to keep people from going. But I'm going to stick with this book. I'm going to stick with what God says. It's the 21st century, it sure is, but this first century book still works. It's still true. Hasn't changed. None of it's been altered by the passage of time. I don't care what's going on in the culture. What the culture's doing is going to hell. But we don't have to go with it. We don't have to go with it. You can still have a godly marriage and a happy home. You can still do that. You can still raise respectful, obedient, and clean kids. You can still do that. You can still live a godly, consecrated, separated Christian life. You can still do that. In the midst of everything that's happening, you can still do it. You can stay faithful. You can stay faithful. Had the funeral yesterday, I mentioned to you, a preacher out of Powderly, Brother Griswood. The thing people said over and over and over about him was he was faithful. He was faithful. He went to a little place in Texas. He was there about 33 years pastoring. He had worked in other places before he went there. And he went there, he stayed, and he was faithful. Faithful. I want to say this to you. When you stand before God, there will not be a better thing to have been said about you than for the Lord to say, he's faithful. He's faithful. You were faithful. Not a better thing. Not a better thing. Look, you can do it. You can do it. If I've made you mad tonight, would you get in the book and get glad? Don't stay mad at me. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I've seen what happens to people. I know what they go through. I've seen the tragedies that's happened. Doesn't have to happen to you. Don't let it. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we're just a bunch of sinners. Lord, as church members, we're sinners saved by grace. But Lord, this is a church where we still believe your book. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. Lord, we believe you meant what you said when you said it. And Lord, we believe you haven't changed your mind.